So we've been talking about staying in your lane. We've talked about the lines are your friends. And so hopefully today you realize the lane that you're supposed to be in and that you know where the lines are around your life. I got a letter a little while back from one of the missionaries that we had in here to China. They were with us last year. They were here for a morning service, and they were here for our worship evening out by the fire pit. And this is one of the things they wrote. They said, China's zero tolerance policy to deal with COVID may indeed be the best approach to protect the nation from the pandemic. We are not critics of that. But it is extremely difficult for foreigners to enter China right now. And here we are in the U.S., months longer than we planned. Frankly, at this time, this waiting has caused us deep frustration, even despair. Also learning a lot about prayer. God is a patient teacher. And so I just want to kind of use that as a kind of a kickoff here as we begin here today to think that they have the right perspective as that they move forward. Yes, they know what lane they're supposed to be in. They know where they're going, but the timetable is not right. They cannot go forward. And we see here as they are waiting, what are they doing? They're praying, all right? And how many know there's a lot of things in our lives that we desire to see God to do, but how many know we've been waiting? And some of us haven't been waiting just weeks, months. Some of us have been waiting years for God to turn some circumstances around, to change some people, to save some people, to heal some people. Whatever it is, how many know that time is one of those things that challenges our faith, right? The test of our faith is time. And so we're going to look at a story here today. We're going to look at the life of Abraham and Sarah. We're going to see that she wasn't a very patient person. If we had to wait 10 years, I don't think we would be very patient either. But we're going to look at this story here today. And I just want to kind of share with you. I want you to kind of look at your own life as we move forward in this and kind of make a comparison today and see how patient you are in the midst of your circumstances today. So impatience is not a quality that we want to have. It is a fruit of the Spirit. And how many know that if you're impatient, it affects a lot of the other fruit in your life? Because those around you are not happy when you're not happy. You know the old saying, when mama's not happy? That's right. When mama's not happy, that's right. So when you're not happy, we kind of think, well, it's my problem, my business. Well, if it was, keep it to yourself, right? But what we do is when we're impatient, and the characteristics that we're going to look at here about the result of impatience in our life kind of outflows to the lives of other people. And when you're impatient, guess what? You affect those around you. And so keep that in mind as we move forward here today. God does not work on our timetable. As much as we would like for him to work on our timetable, he does not. God has a mind of his own. How many know that? So you might as well accept it and move on with there. So God and Abraham and Sarah, they've been waiting for 25 years for a promise to come to pass. 25 years. Could you imagine that? Abraham is 75 years old when he receives the promise. Sarah is 65. And when you're at 65, you don't look around to having a baby. I told my wife, don't even dare. Don't even go there. Amen. We'll move on. Genesis chapter 12. This is the promise that was given to Abraham, the first call. The Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And so we pick up a story here today that's 10 years. They've been waiting. And the biological clock has continually ticked on. And Abraham is now 85 and Sarah is now 75. And she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt the childbearing years are gone. They're gone. They're past. And so she comes up with a cool idea. How many know it wasn't so cool? She comes up with a plan that kind of usurps God's plan for their lives. So let's look at Sarah here this morning. We need to understand who Sarah is. Shiplai had the ideal life. They were nomadic. Most of you kind of like where you're living. You wouldn't want to move from place to place, but that was their life. They had flocks, they had herds, and they had to travel around because of feeding the animals, right? So they moved from place to place. But you need to understand who Sarah is. She is beautiful. She is amazing. She is a bombshell. She is gorgeous. Out of a 1 to 10, she's a 15. Did you understand this? She is somebody that you would notice. She's a trophy wife. How can I express this any different, right? She was so beautiful that there was two kings that said, hey, I want her in my harem. She was so beautiful, Abram was afraid that people would kill him for his wife. That's how gorgeous this woman was. She was rich. Man, you put those two things together, that's pretty good, isn't it? All right? Abraham was rich. And you know, if hubby's rich, the wife's rich. And so they were rich. In our day, he would probably be a multimillionaire easily, maybe even a billionaire. I don't know. So she's beautiful, she's rich, and she has a position. He's the patriarch. He is the head of his clan. All right? And guess what? She's the queen bee. Everybody knows Sarah because they know Abraham. And so we look at this, and you need to understand when they traveled, there was a lot of people that traveled with him. He was so wealthy, it was like a town traveling with him. It's like taking the town of Emlinton saying, okay, we've eaten the pasture land here, let's move over. Let's move somewhere else. There's one story where there was 318 individuals in his household or who belonged to his group that went out to save Lot. You remember that story? And so if there was men, how many know there's some women? And how many know if there's men and women, guess what? There's going to be some kids. And so there is a lot of people. So she's beautiful, she's rich, and she is a person of influence. She is a leader. She is in a position. But with all that, there's one thing she lacked. She could not have a baby. And in that culture, that was devastating to a woman. And I believe in a culture today, it's still devastating when a woman wants a child and cannot have a child. We know that from our own personal experience. It's devastating. My wife still, even with adopted children, still feels that incompleteness within her heart of not being able to have her own child. So she had all this, but she also had the one thing that probably she would trade for any of those other three things. She couldn't have a child. So Sarah becomes a little bit impatient after 10 years. How many, as I said, most of us would become impatient after 10 years. So her impatience turns into impertinence, which means she was disobedient to what God originally designed for Abraham and Sarah. He said, Abraham, you and your wife are going to have a child. You are going to be a parents of a great nation. You will inherit land. And so we look at this and we see that she gets out of her lane. And we also talked about last time Abraham got out of his lane. And they kind of switched places here. They lost the lines. They got out of place. So I want to talk about impatience here and kind of lay a foundation before we actually get to the scripture here today. There are consequences to impatience. And I've learned the hard way, as many of you have, that we like to do things ourselves. When things don't happen on our timetable, we kind of want to help things out. But what we find out is there are consequences to impatience. There is heartache and grief tied in. And as we look at this, as I go through some of these descriptive characteristics, think about Sarah as we go through them. And also, I know this is hard, think about your own life and some of the things that you've experienced in your impatience on waiting for God, staying in your lane. So there's heartache and grief. There's bitterness and anger that sometimes rises up because we look around with a jealous eye, with a jealous heart, because what other people are experiencing, we're not. There's a hostility sometimes when we're impatient. We get grouchy and touchy. Is anybody here? No, we won't go there. That leads to complaining and murmuring and judgmental spirit. Because what happens is when things aren't happening on our timetable, what? We begin to blame others. We begin to criticize others. We look around us instead of looking inward. We want people to share in our misery. As I said, when mama's not happy, nobody's happy, right? Sometimes it can give way to depression in our lives when we kind of just throw up our hands and we give up. There is a discontentment that grabs a hold of our hearts. And how many know when we're discontentment, we make stupid mistakes. We make foolish decisions. And so this is what's taking place in these people. So hurting people hurt people. You've heard that expression, right? And so she's hurt. And so as this circumstance unravels, there's going to be a lot of hurt to spread around in this situation. Sarah is now 75 years old. And so she comes up with a plan. So this plan, as we recognize it here today, is birthed out of impatience. And impatience is nothing more than doubt and unbelief. Because she doubted the promise of God. Abraham doubted the promise of God. Even though it was Sarah's idea, Abraham is in perfect agreement. Ladies, let me give you this warning. If you really don't want your husband to have something or do something, don't say it's okay. Because you will pay the price. I mean, if put yourself in this situation, Sarah offers another woman to Abraham, what's he going to say? I know what you want him to say, ladies. But if you're going to offer another woman to your husband, be ready. Be ready for the consequences. And we'll move on from there. So we're looking at Genesis chapter 16. All right? Chapter 16 of Genesis. We're going to start with verse 1. And we're going to kind of look at some of these verses as we go down here. It says, now Sarai. And I want you to look in there as we read through this. You're going to notice Sarai is calling the shots. Sarai, 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 Sarai. All right? And in the midst of this, she makes two big mistakes. And there's probably more than that involved in this circumstance, but we're only going to point out two. Now Sarai, and it all starts here. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him. But she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, mistake number one, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Ooh, so God's even thrown in on this because the promise has been given. And now she's saying God is not doing it. Ooh, how many have ever done that? Ever questioned why God? That's what you're doing here, right? We'll move on because I know you didn't like that one. So Sarai said, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Mistake number two. Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abraham agreed. She got what she wanted. Agreed with Sarai's proposal. So Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, and gave her to Abram as a wife. And of course, this happened 10 years after Abram had settled in the land of Canaan. So Abraham follows the instructions that Sarah lays out here. He laid out, he followed what she proposed. And how many know, in the beginning, in a garden, there was a man and a woman? And how many know that there was promises and requirements made of Adam? But what did he choose to do? All right, thank you. He chose to listen to his wife. And we see how it has affected the world. So here we have a similar situation where Abraham was given instructions. And what's he do? I'm not picking on you, ladies. I'm honestly not picking on you, all right? He listens to his wife. There's nothing wrong, guys. Listen to your wife when it's good advice. So he followed the leading of his wife. And everything goes according to plan. Sarah's plan, it was happening. But they didn't take into account Hagar. People are an unknown factor when it comes to any given situation. I don't care what situation you're involved with. If there's people involved, guess what? They are unpredictable. And so she becomes the element of unpredictability here. You all know that Joe passed away, and we had funeral arrangements. And we were all together up here, but everywhere else, everything was messed up. If anything could have went wrong with the funeral, it went wrong. From the flights to the day to Joe even showing up. He didn't show up until 4 days later. But all along there, we had people that were working in our behalf, and yet some were dropping the ball, and somewhere he got lost. We were in New Mexico, and he was hanging out in Fort Worth and Dallas. I guess having a good time. So we cannot always depend on people. They are the ungiven. They are not. That's why what we do, we put our trust in the Lord. Right? He's unchanging. He's faithful. And he'll do what he promised. And we'll see that here in a few minutes. So we're looking at Genesis 16. Sarah lays out the plan. And so in verse 4, so Abram had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. There's a revelation, isn't it? All right? So that's a good lesson for our young people. No sex, no baby. Get married. All right. So Abraham had sexual relations with Hagar, and she became pregnant. But when Hagar knew she was pregnant, she began to treat her mistress Sarah with contempt. So the unknown factor comes alive here. And we're going to talk about her next week. So where does Sarah go from here? What does she do? This wasn't in the plan. This wasn't in the script. And so I want you to think about some of those characteristics, those qualities of impatience. And look what happens here in verse 5. Then Sarai said to Abram, "This is all your fault." Don't you love this? I mean, you probably read this story 100 times. You probably never even picked up on what's going on here. This is all your fault. I put my servant into your arms, but now that she's pregnant, she treats me with contempt. And look at this. The Lord will show you who's wrong. The Lord's going to get you. Can we paraphrase that? This is your fault. You got us into this mess. You got her pregnant. Don't you just love this? It's kind of like a soap opera, isn't it? So she blames the Lord in verse 2. So in verse 5, she's using it as a club to beat Abram. The Lord's going to get you. Verse 6. And I don't know if he's a coward here or he's very wise. He looks to his wife and says, "Look, she is your servant, so you deal with it." How you like that? Deflects it, doesn't he? It's pretty good. All right, I got to figure out where I'm at here. So you deal with it as you see fit. Then Sarah treated Hagar so harshly that she finally ran away. And we know the story. She does come back because an angel tells her to. So what we see here is impatience bears some unwanted fruit in the midst of this situation. Like a real man, Abraham throws it back into her lap. So later on, the story picks up. 12 or 13 years have passed now. And Sarah's still not pregnant. For 12, 13 years, she is putting up with Hagar and Ishmael and Abraham. It was 10 years, now it's 13 years. So this is what it says in chapter 21, verse 1 of Genesis. The Lord kept his word and did for Sarah exactly what he had promised. God does what he promises. if we will wait for his timing for it to happen. So God did it on his timetable when he wanted to do it and through whom he wanted to do it. He did it exactly. He did exactly what he had promised. She became pregnant and she gave birth to a son for Abraham in his old age. This happened and just at the time that God had said it would. We go back to that timing, isn't it? Waiting on God. So verse 8 is where we kind of run into some trouble. When Isaac grew up and was about to be weaned, Abraham prepared a huge feast to celebrate the occasion. But Sarai saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant Hagar making fun of her son. Who's her son? Isaac. It didn't say Abraham's son, because Isaac's her son. Ishmael is his son. Pick it up in this story here, all right? Pick up what's going on. She's a beautiful woman, but she's she's in a dark place, all right? Sarah saw Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and her Egyptian servant making fun of her son, Isaac. So she turned to Abraham and demanded, "Get rid of that slave woman and her son." Notice all the pronouns here. "He is not going to share the inheritance with my son, Isaac. I won't have it." You kind of get a flare of what's going on here? Kind of the deep emotional, traumatic event this is created in their lives, because she had a plan outside of God's plan, because she didn't want to stay in her lane and trust God to do exactly what he said he would do. Verse 11. So this upset Abraham. Of course it would, because she's had Ishmael as his only son for 13 years. And if you have a child for 13 years, you kind of grow attached to that child, you know? And so we look at the story, and she says, this upset Abraham very much because Ishmael was whose son? His son. Not her son, his son. But God told Abraham, do not be upset over the boy and your servant. Do whatever, and that's a big, big word there, whatever Sarah tells you. Well, he remembers the first time this got us in trouble, the first time I listened to her. So now we hear of it again. Do whatever Sarah tells you, for Isaac is the son through whom your descendants will be counted. But I will also make a nation of the descendants of Hagar's son, because he is your son. Not the son of promise, but he is your son. And as I said, we'll talk about Hagar because she has some issues that play into this whole scenario. But we kind of get to see the inside of what's going on in the life of Sarah. And you know the old saying, beauty is only skin deep, right? Ugly's to the bone. There is some ugly coming out of this very beautiful woman. She got her way. She got her way with Abraham. Think about it here. Abraham listened to her, and even God didn't want to mess with her. Right? It's like, whatever she says, just do it. It'll get you out of trouble. I thought I'd throw that in. God did console Abraham despite the situation they created, not just her. But this is what really gets me. Do you ever get mad at Scripture? Do you ever look at circumstances and you kind of get upset with maybe how maybe God treated someone or somebody else treated someone? This is one of those incidents. And just like Moses not being able to go into the promised land, that kind of bugs me. I know God's right in what he does, but I still don't agree. But this is one of those situations. Look at the scripture, starting with verse 14. And so this is how Abraham treats Hagar and Ishmael. Verse 14. So Abraham got up early the next morning, prepared food and a container of water, and strapped them to Hagar's shoulders. Then he sent her away with their son, and she wandered aimlessly in the wilderness of Beersheba. Pick up on this story here. Here he is, a multi-millionaire. And what's he do? He packs a little lunch. He gives her a bottle of water and says, sayonara, goodbye, aloha, whatever, and sends her on her way. That bugs me. You know, as his wife said, he's not going to get a penny of the inheritance. And guess what? He didn't get a penny of the inheritance. He could have gave her a donkey, a camel, a cart. He could have gave her a couple sheep, goats to kind of start their own herd. Could have sent some of his servants to get her back home to her own people. Think about it. This is wickedly cruel. Here, here's your lunch, here's your bottle of water. Catch you on the flip side. This is an amazing story, isn't it? I want to encourage you today. This is a terrible story. It's a good story, but it's also terrible. Because we know God's plan, and they got off the plan. And how many know that God's plan will prevail? We look at our world today, how many know that God has a plan? Read Revelation and you will see the fulfillment of the plan. Bad things are going to happen on this earth before he returns. It's part of the plan. Not because he plans the bad, it's because there's people involved. And people making decisions. I just want to encourage you today, do not get ahead of the Lord. Do not get impatient for what he's doing in your life. It'd be nice to be delivered from a habit in our life just like that. And some people are. But how many know some of us have wrestled through things that we've had to fight tooth and nail as through temptation, problems, and just that thing circle around and biting us on the heel again. Yeah. I want to encourage you with this scripture here today, and we're going to close out with Psalm 37. And I encourage you, if you're going through some things and you're looking for answers for prayer and it seems like things have been delayed, read Psalm 37. It is a very encouraging scripture, and it brings out exactly what we've talked about here today. It helps us to stay in our lines. It helps us to stay in the lane that God has created for us. I'm just going to pick a few verses out and kind of read them, but I encourage you to read the whole chapter just for your own encouragement and edification, and just allow the Word of God to speak to you. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Basically, be faithful. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. How many know that the desires some of us have are God-planted? Right? It's just not ministry things we're talking about. It's talking about life. And he will give you your heart's desire. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. Be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Stop the planning, stop the conniving, stop the scheming. And say, Lord, I surrender my ideas, my thoughts, even these desires. I give them to you. And I ask you to put the pieces together. The Lord, verse 23, directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Verse 24, though they stumble. How many know that Abraham and Sarah stumbled? Big time. And yet we see what? God fulfilled his promise. He gave them the child. The nation was born. They were given the land. They will never fail, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Verse 34, put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along the path or in your lane, and he will honor you by giving you the land. That is an awesome scripture, and I have gone back to this chapter over and over with the transitions in my life, just to stand upon these promises, knowing that God has us in the palm of his hands, and that his promises are true, that he will not forsake us, he will not leave us, he will empower us, he will give us everything we need for the fulfillment of that promise. And I don't know what your issues are in your life today, and what those things that God has promised to you, spoke promises. How many know there's general promises that we have in the Bible that are for all of us? And then there are specific promises that he speaks into each one of our hearts and lives. And maybe you've given up on some of those dreams, those things. Or maybe not. And they're still very much alive, and you're still figuring out how to get it done. Commit them to the Lord, and he will do what? Bring them to pass. So let me just encourage you today. Do not step out of line, because there's going to be consequences. There are going to be things, there's a payday coming for what you do right, and there's a payday for when we do bad. I am grateful for the grace of God, the mercy of God. But how many know Ishmael is Ishmael? They couldn't do away with Ishmael. Let's get the promises, let's get the Isaacs in our life and avoid the Ishmaels. We talked about Abraham sometimes followed where he should have led. And this is one of those circumstances where he should have said to his wife, it's not a good idea. This isn't the promise that God gave us. He said, you would have my child. Sarah was impatient concerning God's promises and his faithfulness. She wavered in that. In a sense, Abraham wavered too. Next week, we're going to look at Hagar. She's a wannabe. She wanted to be something that she could never be or have. And some of us need to learn that too in our lives. That there's some places that God has not prepared for us, that he doesn't want us to be. We like that Jeremiah 29:11. He has a plan and a purpose for our lives. But do you believe that? That it's usually uniquely developed for you. He has a plan for you. Father, we just come to you today. And maybe you're frustrated here today. Maybe there's something going on in your line, and we'd love to pray with you today. I'm just going to ask you to stand where you're at this morning. If you're in this place today, and you've been frustrated, and you've been impatient, and you've been scheming, dreaming, trying to make something happen. And God says, stand still. Let me pull all the pieces together. The Bible says, you know, we can plan our path, but he directs our steps. Right? I want to be here. I want to do this. I want to have this, whatever. With impatience comes heartaches and grief and bitterness and anger. Jealousy arises. There's hostility. We get grouchy and touchy, and we don't want people around us interfering. We complain and murmur. We get judgmental. A lot of God's people are discontented because they have no idea where they're supposed to be. Because they have not stopped to allow the Lord to speak into their heart and say, this is the direction I have for your life. Stand where you're at this morning, please. Stand where you're at. We come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we are all guilty of getting ahead of you, stepping out of line, rebelling, Lord, just doing our own thing. We ask for forgiveness for that, Lord. But Lord, there are people among us that are walking through some very hard issues in their life, Lord. And like Sarah, Lord, there's pain inside. They're hurting. Because, Lord, the thing that they really want the most, those pure desires, those good things, just seem to be out of reach. And they just can't grab a hold of them. Today, Lord, I'm asking God that you will just affirm in their heart, Lord, that you are in control. That you are orchestrating their life. You are putting people in their place, pieces of the puzzle together for the fulfillment of that dream and heart's desire that you placed within them. Encourage them today, Lord. Let it be a place and an altar today as we get ready for communion, Lord, just to make an altar and say, Lord, once again, I surrender all. I surrender all. Holding nothing back. That's how we began this service, Lord. About giving you all. Giving you everything. Can you do that right now? Lord, we raise our hands, we raise our hearts, we raise our voices to you, Lord, and just say, Lord, move among us, Lord. As individuals today, Lord, we want to fulfill the dreams and the desires that you've placed in our hearts. And today, Lord, as a church, Lord, we have dreams and we have desires. And we want to see them fulfilled as well. And today, Lord, we're asking you to move and to speak in the hearts, Lord. And as we prepare our hearts, Lord, for communion, Lord, we see that you had a plan and you did not divert away from that plan. You stayed in your lane until it was done. And today, Lord, we want that same attitude. We want to not put our hand to the plow and look back. We don't want to start and not finish. We want to finish strong. We want to be considered faithful.